Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark.
Glory to you, Lord.
Again, Jesus left the district of Tyre and went up by way of Sidon to the Sea of Galilee, into the district of the Decapolis. And people brought to him a deaf man who had a speech impediment and begged him to lay his hands on him. He took him off by himself away from the crowd. He put his finger into the man's ears and spitting touched his tongue. Then he looked up to heaven and groaned and said, "Ephphatha," that is, "be opened." And immediately the man's ears were opened, his speech impediment was removed, and he spoke plainly. He ordered them not to tell anyone, but the more he ordered them not to, the more they proclaimed it. They were exceedingly astonished, and they said, "He has done all things well. He makes the deaf hear and the mute speak." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
If we're honest with ourselves, Jesus Christ is a little bit disturbing and a little bit uncomfortable and even a little bit invasive in today's Gospel. If we did anointing of the sick as Jesus does, I think we'd get fewer requests for it. And brothers and sisters, I'm going to keep on making some bold claims. I'm going to make a claim that ultimately, Jesus Christ is not concerned about healing you. And ultimately, Jesus Christ is not concerned about you being holy in the world. And those are some big, outrageous statements. Because I want to go further than that. Because Jesus Christ goes further than that. Jesus wants to do more than heal you. He wants to transform you. He wants to recreate you. That's a whole lot deeper and a whole lot more powerful than simply healing you. And Jesus doesn't want you to be holy in this world because that's too small. Jesus Christ wants you to be transformed and then go out into this world that's been bent and misshapen, and he wants you to bend it back to how the Father desired it to be in the beginning. Jesus Christ is about some radical and bold things, and we should be too. And we should want our lives with the Lord at times to be uncomfortable and at times to feel as if he's invading us with his love. To do more in our lives than we could ever imagine. And that's the point of the gospel. And so I want to just break open this gospel a little bit. Jesus is on his way to the region of the Decapolis, and he goes by way of Sidon. What that means is that Jesus does not go straight there. He is going in some way out of his way to get there. He's going out of his way out of love for this blind man who he has not met yet, but who he knows is out there. And Jesus goes out of his way to heal, to transform this man's life, and to transform the lives of those who will witness the healing. Jesus Christ goes out of his way. He goes out of his way for you and for me. First point. Second point, the region of the Decapolis. It means it's the region of 10 cities. And these 10 cities, they're not Jewish cities. They're cities of pagans, people who are not Jews, who do not worship the one true God. Instead, they worship gods that are basically superhumans. And they exhibit all of humans' worst behaviors, but on steroids. The gods they worship are not good gods. Ultimately, they're not real gods. And even if they were, they're not the kinds of gods that love these people. That's where Jesus goes, out of his way to heal a man. And if we were to have a region of the Decapolis today, some of the names of those 10 cities might be Washington, D.C., Hollywood, Indianapolis, Fishers, Carmel, LaPel. So many places around us because it's inescapable. In some ways, we too live in pagan territory because we no longer live in a Christian world, and we have to accept that. because we have to live in reality. But Jesus still comes even for the people of the Decapolis, and he even comes for us. But this region, it's messy, and it's noisy, and it's broken. And there's a lot in there that's not set right, but Jesus shows up. But the people, because they live in it, they too have some brokenness. And in some ways, they have some areas that are small and petty and selfish and need healed. But more than that, need transformed. So it's no wonder then, there is a man who is deaf. In the midst of all this, he cannot hear. And because he cannot hear, he cannot speak. Because we learn to speak from hearing and imitating. He cannot hear, so he cannot speak. And Jesus comes for him, and he pulls him aside. He takes him out of the crowd, out of the situation which has made him deaf and mute. And Jesus takes him, and he very physically, very viscerally gives him life again. And we should hear in this somewhat disturbing imagery of Jesus putting fingers in ears and spitting and touching tongues, that's lost on us. But it was not lost on the Jews who witnessed it. Because what does God do in the book of Genesis? At the very start, he forms man from the dust of the earth. It's hard to form dust if it's dry. So there's this image of God spitting into the dust of the earth to make clay from which he forms the first human being in goodness and in his image and in his likeness. So as he comes and does this somewhat disturbing thing, it's a sign that this man, deaf and mute, living in a world that produces deafness and muteness and malformity and a lack of being fully alive, God comes to him and he recreates him and he makes him fully alive. And he invades him with love and ultimately gives him some of his own life. Brothers and sisters, as I said, Fishers would be one of those modern cities of the Decapolis where there are a lot of other gods other than the one true God, and they are not interested ultimately in our goodness or in our being alive or being transformed. And they don't have god names like Mars or Pan or Baal, but they might have names like TikTok, Meta, Alphabet, CYO Sports, perhaps, for some of us. Could be IRA, 401k, golf. There could be so many different gods that speak to us with voices that are so loud, they actually deafen us. And because we cannot hear right, we cannot speak right. And we know something about this, because many of us have been in situations where we could have witnessed the gospel. We could have spoke a word of healing into somebody's life. We could have said simply, I will pray for you, to someone who truly needs to hear it. And we don't. We don't. Because in some way, we're still a little deaf. And we haven't heard the word of God as clearly in our lives as we need to. And because we haven't heard it, we have trouble speaking it. All of us have some place in our life where we're still deaf and still a little bit mute. And it makes it a little bit hard to trust that God is a Father who loves us and who looked at us even in our smallness and brokenness, deafness and muteness, and came to save us and to heal us and ultimately to transform us and then to take this world and to bend it back to how God desired it to be. Because as St. Irenaeus said in the 100s AD, the glory of God is the human person fully alive. And that was our opening prayer. You who have given us a spirit of redemption and adoption, that we, your beloved sons and daughters, might be reborn in your love. Because brothers and sisters, if we're honest, many of us are still not fully alive. And we have family members that are not fully alive. And I gave some of those examples of some of those idols and gods, but let's still bring it even just a little bit closer. How many of our young people, our children, our school students feel crippled under the burden of expectations that have nothing to do most fundamentally with who they are, but by what they do? How many students compulsively check their grades online to know of their worth and how they are doing. How many of them are pushed to play sports or instruments or things that maybe at one point they really genuinely loved, but now it's been pushed to such a consuming extreme that their parents love it more for them than they do. One of the most difficult things you can be in this modern world is a woman, and especially a young woman, who face so many challenges and pressures and voices coming at them. And we men often don't help with that. But even women who know how hard it is to be a woman make it harder on other women than it needs to be. How many men, sometimes if they're honest with themselves, work to provide a life that they thought at one point they wanted and then suddenly don't recognize it. And they don't have intimacy with their spouse. Maybe they don't know their kids as fully as they should. Maybe they're looking for relief in other ways, but then feel a little bit ashamed that they don't love their family as much as they should or spend as much time with them as they should. It produces a guilt and a shame. Brothers and sisters, that's not a world bent back to the will of God. That's not your life transformed and recreated. And that's not the kind of world that a good God would create. So all of us today have some area where we are still a little deaf and still a little mute. And if it's not slow, this process of healing, it's not human. And sometimes God will show up and work a miracle like that, and it's done. But for the rest of us, if it's not slow, it's not human. And God doesn't call you often to go from A to Z all in one giant leap. But he does ask you, how are you going to get from A to B? What is one more step that you can take today to let me heal you, to let me love you, to let me work through you? So brothers and sisters, that's a simple invitation today, because Jesus Christ goes out of his way not to heal you, but to transform you, because you are worth it, but you have to want it. All of us, whether you're just starting out or whether you are, by all appearances and in reality, an incredibly faithful, devout Catholic, all of us still have some place where we could hear better, where we could speak better, where we could live more fully alive. So a simple invitation. Think of one, two, or three areas in your life where God's inviting you just to take one more step. You don't have to figure it all out. Figure out one more step. And then after that, just one more. Because Jesus Christ came to do more than heal you. He came to transform you. And for you to be more than just holy in the world, but for you to bend this world back to what it was made to be.